from the Saving the Dolphins. We are here in exotic Spanish Harlem in the Dolphins Dome. And I am here with always super special guest Mike Mercantile.
And I'm here with actual host Dave Kinney. You didn't say your name.
Yeah, Dave Kinney. let the listeners guess.
Yeah, no, both of our names are
something of an enigma.
What a mystery this is in the Dolphin Dome.
Dolphins are coming off of, we're recording this right now on Sunday. Dolphins coming off their third preseason game against the Ravens. And, none of them have been, wins.
Well, here's the question.
On the scoreboard.
Here's the mystery in the Dolphin Dome.
Yeah.
Do we care?
See, this is tricky.
Right? Like, because that's the standard preseason. It's preseason. The games don't matter. But also, we should have won something, right?
Yeah. This game against the Ravens, they weren't sending their best.
No.
I got a list here. The players that they decided to sit for this game were Joe
Flacco. Wait, us or them? No, them.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's them.
Yeah. Joe Flacco, the receivers, Michael Crabtree, John Brown, Willie Snead, Jaleel Scott, tight ends, Hayden Hurst, Nick Boyle, offensive lineman, Marshall Yandel, James Hurst, Ronnie Stanley. Linebackers, Terrell Suggs, CJ Mosley, Alvin Jones, defensive line, William Henry, defensive backs, Eric Weddle, Brandon Carr, Maurice Kennedy, and Bennett Jackson. With all those starters set, you just imagine that our team must have just like torn them apart.
Well, are any of these people hurt?
No.
Or they were just like, take a load off, guys.
No, I mean, those definitely weren't injuries. It was definitely like a conscious effort. I mean, maybe they included injuries with that list, but like definitely like if there's injuries, it's the small minority. Like most of it is just abundance of caution.
I will say that we did like go for a drive. We had a drive. We had a touchdown and then that's it.
Yeah. I mean, the first two drives, I think our total yards were like two yards,
single digit.
It was rough going in the beginning. The drive, we finally had a touchdown drive. And that the drive was a real roller coaster. Yeah. That Danny Amendola touchdown, great move on his part.
Yeah. That was totally Amendola's touchdown.
We just have to like freeze him in carbonite so we can like, or maybe like, see, the problem is Danny Amendola, his entire career has been made out of a mix of silly putty and candy glass. He's not known for durability. That move, I like that move, but also I was like,
Did you clinch?
Even though he's a receiver, I want him to carry the ball the way quarterbacks do. Like there's times where it's like he's, especially in the preseason, like where he gets a big run and I'm like, slide, slide.
Like RG3, you saw him running with the ball. He had it like he was just like palming it and he was just kind of like had it all over the place. Standard RG3 run.
Yeah. I mean, the slide is the part I'm focused on now.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
I really want to protect Amendola. Like I don't want, I mean,
dude, I don't know, man. It's weird. Here's the thing.
Sure.
It's weird because there was good moments.
Yeah.
And you want them to be moments that that are signs of more to come.
Sure.
Right? Like that Kenyon Drake run.
Yeah.
Like Kenyon Drake had a game.
Kenyon Drake all this whole preseason on our offense, there's been so many people, Mike Gesicki is, I think, the best example of someone.
He's kind of where
it's like every practice report is that like he's lighting the world on fire. This game, he finally got his first catch. But I mean, one of the things I like that they're spending so much time with him as a blocking. But I'm like secret weapon. Like this is the whole overview of how I choose to perceive this preseason. Because look, we'll talk about this game, then we'll talk about the preseason as a whole. But the overview that I'm hoping for is, this is all just a genius ruse on Adam Gase's part to make the whole league think that the Dolphins are terrible at football.
Here's my thing. They did it with the draft. Why wouldn't they do it with preseason?
Yeah.
They were deceptive. Why? Like, hey guys, just kidding.
We have been deceptive. And I'm going to be honest. He's doing a great job.
He's doing job at deceiving the NFL as to how good we actually are by playing pretty shitty.
Yeah. I mean, The overall numbers. We'll get to it. I want to get to the highlights of the game before we kind of get to the overview. So the highlights of the game. You talked about the Kenyon Drake run. Kenyon Drake made some great plays. That Amendola touchdown, honestly, like, I didn't think they were even going to get the first down. He made that play happen yards after happen. Catch.
I could see. And that
shook him out of their cleats.
Yeah, he got him. And that really kind of energized us a little bit.
It's the only touchdown we've had all preseason.
And I think it was important to get that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think it was that again, mental game. I think that proved that finally that's out of the way. Now let's just play the game.
I mean, people can say all they want about how, you know, it's preseason, it's limited playbook, we're not showing our best stuff, all this other shit.
Yeah.
If our starters are going against their defense that's sitting all the people I just named, and our first drives, like, literally not only don't get, like, just total up for nothing, right, like just go absolutely fucking nowhere. So with that being the case, I mean, like, yeah, you kind of, I understand that this isn't like their A+ game plan, but yeah, you do kind of have to score.
Like, it's his genius offense.
We're playing checkers. He's playing 3D chess.
he's setting that bar super low. He's setting that expectation bar as low as reasonably possible.
Yeah.
Because it's not unreasonable for us to be this bad, but we're not.
I will say
that's what Adam Gase is going to show us.
First couple drives, the defense. Exactly. That's what you hope for.
Yeah.
I mean, the first couple drives, the defense had some impressive stops. But again, it's also, I just named all the offensive starters that they weren't up against.
Yeah.
But they did have some good stops.
I will say, I have never been like that block. Anytime a field goal gets blocked is a joy.
Vincent Taylor.
It's a joy. That was fun. Amazing. Super fun.
Also Justin Tucker. I mean, he's like a good, he's like the dude who kicks hard enough that, like, you wouldn't want to have to be the person who has to block that, because your hand is definitely going to be in pain.
It was very clearly going to be like a long, like, it wouldn't have, I don't think,
yeah, it, I think it was like 51, 52.
Yeah. It was definitely a long field goal. That was kind of like if they make it, if they don't, or whatever, it's like that. It's that borderline punt kick situation. And, it neither happened because we fucking blocked it. You know what I mean? That alone, again, things build so much energy.
Yeah.
You know, like getting a block, even though we got the ball exactly where we were supposed, where we would have gotten it.
I mean, maybe like our team's hidden talent is special teams, like offense and defense.
Secret weapon.
Has it. Yeah. Our team is special. we just build like the entire team around special teams. Like everyone else is taking like quarterbacks in the first round, and we're like going for like long snappers and like gunners. I'm like,
Adam Gase is electing to kick punt in the second.
Every punt goes for like 80 yards. They're so good at punt coverage.
Oh, it's that offensive genius.
Exactly.
It's an offensive genius, Adam Gase.
Even if you get to like the 1 yard line, they're still gonna block the kick because they're just that fucking good at kick blocking. Like, we just have this whole team of just like 9-foot-tall dudes.
Yeah, like we just literally draft out of the NCAA basketball with March Madness. We're just like, yeah, we just want reach. We just want big wingspans.
Not even like, it's just volleyball players.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure, volleyball players.
We don't need dudes that can catch. We just need dudes who can knock stuff out of the air.
Yeah, we need to just our entire team is focused on tip drills.
It's hidden down. Because I mean, look, I'm looking at like the offense and defensive numbers. Not amazing. Special teams numbers. I mean, crushing look, it. You know, it's
secret weapon.
Yeah. See, it's like the hidden edge.
I will say we did. Okay. Going back to the game against the Ravens, there was a lot of pressure. They were getting a lot of pressure from the outside, from the ends.
Robert Quinn got what is now his third sack of the preseason. And they're also like holding the living shit out of him.
Yes.
Because I mean, even though the 3 sacks in the last 2 games doesn't even tell the whole story, because every play, I mean, some of the replays they showed, some of the holds that they weren't getting called were like hilarious.
I get that
there's holding on every defensive play, but like some of these were like almost cartoonish,
like a full on headlock.
He is that. I mean, look, I mean, assuming he's able to stay healthy, that seems like that was a really good offseason trade. Because, I mean, I think him with Cam Wake together.
Yeah. We made a lot of fun about, you know, all of these people that we brought in. He's making a big difference as an older dude. The speed on that guy is fascinating. Like, he's gotten faster.
He's got this bend. Like, he turns the corner and, these offensive linemen don't know how to handle that shit.
And he was definitely getting a ton of pressure, but the tackles were not holding up the pocket and that's when RG3 and Lamar, what's his name? Quarterback.
Lamar Jackson.
I'll have Miller on the mind.
Lamar Jackson, who had an almost perfect QB rating in this game.
Yeah. He was
138.
Yeah. It was disgusting, but that was also at the end of the game, you know, like when they brought him in and it was third string on third string. What I will say is that even when our guys, our starters were playing, the tackles were leaving some room, leaving some lanes.
Jordan Phillips. It was really funny. I was watching the game. Here's the thing. Because I had not seen Bob Greasy do announcing as much. Like, I knew him obviously as a legendary player. I hadn't really heard him talk. If you've been watching these preseason games, it is a treat to hear Bob Greasy. Bob Greasy, who played football in an era where people were like way less conscious of head trauma. his commenting and like he. But one thing that actually. We'll get to some of like the funnier calls Bob Greasy had, but one of the things that he was actually really astute about was Jordan Phillips made two plays in a row that were just amazing.
Right.
But it was like, it was perfect timing because they were like, Jordan Phillips had two amazing back-to-back plays. I think it was a sack and like a stop for a loss. And they were like, the one problem is he's been a little inconsistent. And like literally the moment they said that, he immediately asked to be taken out because he was gassed. And it was literally like two plays into the drive. And you're like, yeah, well, that is inconsistent.
Yeah, I don't know what conditioning problems we have. I don't know what's going on. And again, it's preseason. We care?
Well, Jordan Phillips, I mean, that's just been I don't know if he's like second or third round, but he had the talent to be a first rounder. I mean, he's like a truly rare athletic specimen. But I mean, the one knock against him in the draft is he's a little inconsistent. And like, yeah, that's just who he is. He's a dude who like some plays is going to be great. Some plays is going to be terrible. You try to rotate him in and out to like balance it out.
Sure.
Like,
and you get it. Hopefully you catch him when he's in, you catch the good plays. You know, like that's the goal. But the trick of it being is that if he's, you know, like I think one of the reasons why the offseason went the way it did for us was to get depth, was to have space to kind of get people he's inconsistent.
But how do we motivate Jordan Phillips though?
Huh? I don't know.
Cause he's inconsistent. Like maybe, do you think he responds to incentives?
I don't know. Incentivizing. So you like, that's a whole tricky thing. Cause you can't negatively
like kidnap a member of his family before the game and be like, oh, Jordan, I hope nothing happens.
Yeah. It would be a shame.
Yeah.
If something bad would like, there's like a weird drone hovering over his house. It would be a shame if something were to happen.
Like saw type shit.
Yeah. It's a good thing we have an eye on your house 24/7.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
That's so creepy.
I wish we didn't have to do this to win games.
Yeah. He's like, what an unfortunate circumstance. Let's hope we can come together and really win some games. And it's just, and Jordan Phillips is like,
hey, Jordan,
what do you mean?
Hey, Jordan, have a good game. Play hard out there, man. Yeah.
No, but I do think that there was this game, you saw more positive things than in the other games, I think. But kind also, of, once they pulled the starters, it kind of fell apart. I think it was a real mess.
There were a lot of kind of just strange things. Kiko Alonso, if you saw the game, or maybe if you didn't saw the highlights, goes to the wrong sideline. And the thing is, if you haven't seen the video, it's worth a watch because it's not just that he like walked the wrong direction. He like goes to that sideline, takes his helmet off, is watching the game. And like, as he's going over there, there's 100 dudes on the Ravens sideline signaling with their hands and like in every way they possibly can. No, this is not where, and he's just like laughing like, and then ends up getting a delay of game penalty. That doesn't matter. Oh, yeah, it's a preseason anyway, but like it was, The thing is, you can't watch that. And Bob Greasy bringing back his announcing is just joking about like, oh, God, I guess he must have got his bell rung pretty hard. He doesn't even know where he is. And everyone's laughing. And it's like, it just felt like I was like watching a football game from like 1978.
Yes.
It felt like a more simple time before we understood CTE and head trauma.
That happened to me.
He wasn't even concussed, but it's like you watch that video and like apparently there's a sideline video where it's even more obvious that like he's not doing great.
Oh, the whole thing was that you could see them laughing it off Harbaugh was just like, ha ha ha.
Sure.
And
it's the announcers that I'm more criticizing. Like all of them are like, oh, maybe he's got a concussion.
Yeah, no, straight up saying that it's like, oh, he went over there because he's concussed.
He got his bell rung.
Yeah. Here's my question to you.
Sure.
Do you think he did it on purpose to gather intel?
Yeah. It's possible.
Do you think he just wandered over there and just like, cause you know, like it's preseason, you fuck around a little bit. Is it that level of like fucking around where you think Kiko Alonso just like wandered over and was like, oh, my bad, y'all, looking over like people's shoulders.
He just wanted to chat up Joe Flacco. Hey, remember that time I almost decapitated you?
Yeah.
You know, just laughing about good times.
Yeah. It's like, where's Joe Flacco? I want to take his head off again.
Exactly. He still goes helmet to helmet. Joe Flacco's not even in uniform.
I'm not playing this game. Whack. Yeah. Like,
Joe Flacco's not even on the sideline. He's at home. Kiko Alonso, they're like, it looks like he's going to the locker room, but really he's getting in a cab.
He's like, I got places to go and people to heads to take off.
Yeah. The NFL calls him and they're like, Kiko, we got to talk about
how
this.
How did he do besides his concussed head? Like the middle linebackers gave up so much, or the linebackers the gave up so much. There was a fucking wide again. It's hard to say because it was late in the game and it was all of our backups. But even then, it got real sloppy, real fast.
Yeah, it's. I mean, putting some numbers to it. It was just the whole game. This whole game just like went really, really shitty. I was going to put numbers to it and I'm like, no,
just shitty.
It was, we just got completely gashed, like by the all season, like our running game. I mean, I guess we can now start getting into some bigger pictures.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
Our defense as a whole, we're second to last in points allowed this preseason. We're dead last in yards allowed. The opponents are converting 46% of their third downs.
Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah, which is the fourth highest.
Stop bringing accurate facts.
Well for reference, our offense in this game was 2 out of 12 converting. 46% conversion rate is. And the thing is, it's like there's individual plays that are good.
Right.
But I mean, it's the same problem with our offense.
Like I understand the inconsistency. Yeah.
Well, our offense, Ryan Tannehill, so far this preseason has a 99 QB rating, which I guess is seventh among quarterbacks with at least 30 pass attempts and a touchdown and no turnovers, completing 74% of his passes. That looks good on paper. The problem is that like the actual third down, our actual third down conversion numbers, like in this game, 2 out of 12.
Yeah. There's something.
It's like he can get yards. He can complete passes. But I mean, like how many times, like I feel like as a Dolphin fan forever, it's this frustration of 3rd and 8. So if someone throws like a 2 yard out, like it's, and by the way, which counts as a completed pass. It's not a pick. It's not a sack, like all this other shit, but it's like, yeah, like it's the Kenyon Drake throw down the field.
Yeah, was like the deepest pass of the game?
I think so.
That was not intercepted.
Yeah, I mean to be completely honest, once it got to like fails in our Osweiler, I quickly kind of saw enough that like I wasn't watching every single offensive snap at that point. Maybe
you pull your phone out and you start like what jokes can I make about what's happening right now?
Well,
what can I tweet?
Tannehill has been.
Again,
his overall numbers look good, but it's like in general, again, like, I mean, you hope that there's what I said before, that we're playing possum, that there's a secret offensive playbook that they haven't showcased as much.
Secret weapon.
Well, yeah. I mean, you mentioned earlier, Kenyon Drake on the upside, if I'm going to bring up all the negative numbers,
did you see how they used him though? They were using him differently. They were not having him. They were lining him up as in the slot. They sent him out from the backfield to catch that deep pass.
Yeah, the super long pass. Because the thing is, they put a linebacker on him, and you cannot do that. Yeah. He will definitely get gash you for that.
I'm telling you, I foresee. The progression of the oop-de-oop to include Mike Gesicki and all of the, you know, like, and people front and catching passes from the backfield.
Yeah, I mean the thing is, apart from that, I mean our rushing game so far this season is, and we have the highest yards per carry in rushing in the NFL.
That is an astounding stat. As
we
a
also
fan.
Have the fewest rushing attempts.
That makes more sense. There and, we go.
Those numbers are not unrelated.
Yeah. I will say, who cares?
Sure. Like,
do we care?
Frank Gore got some action this game.
Carry, that's my dude.
It was one carry and one reception. If you total those yards together, it adds up to -1.
he's going to make a break for it. I'm telling you, this is honestly, all playing possum.
If you sign a 35-year-old running back, I'm honestly happy with them not, like, don't waste him in the preseason.
Yeah.
Like that would be really stupid.
I'm telling you, this does not.
He's played enough NFL snaps. I think he knows what to expect.
I will say I was a little let down by David Fales, like our backups, because this is what we're doing. I think this is the time where this is what preseason's for. I personally think
we don't have Ryan Tannehill. If he gets injured, which, if you follow the team, you know,
it happens more often than not.
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill hasn't been exactly, invincible.
He's never been hurt ever, and he will be healthy for all eternity.
The problem, a couple of years ago, last time we made the playoffs, Tannehill goes down. We put in Matt Moore.
Right.
Matt Moore is a dude who, there's a reason he was like a backup. That obvious reason, as we've discussed, is because he had all the talent to be a starter. But he chose not to play to save himself from head trauma.
Where do you think Adam Gase is learning this playing possum strategy from? That's why he sent him packing. He's like, I learned all I need to know from you.
Yeah.
Get out of here. And then Matt Moore goes off and he's going to be back.
I won't even let you hold a clipboard.
Yeah. I've learned what I need to know. The student has become the master. Everybody, we're playing possum.
The problem is right now, even going to the playoffs, you had the Vikings and the Eagles, the team that ultimately won, going there with their backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's true.
To be fair, I'm less worried about what our Super Bowl run will look like at this point. having a quarterback where if your quarterback goes down or even just misses a couple games, come in and like look competent. We do not have that. I mean, it's funny because Fales and Osweiler, there's individual plays and throws where they'll make, or even drives. Fales had, I think it was his first drive he came in.
Right.
He's like going down the field and you're like, it's look good.
Yes.
Every couple throws, I think it was he's going for the end zone and overthrows a dude by 10 yards. And you're like, that's why he's been a backup his whole career. There's been some talk about Teddy Bridgewater's out there. Everyone's talking about him being available and stuff.
You're ready to keep looking. You want others. You want a longer list to choose from.
Teddy Bridgewater specifically. The problem is
coming to the end of the preseason, man. This is it.
Well, the thing is, the Jets, Teddy Bridgewater's up on the trading block. The problem is apparently they want at least a fourth rounder, if not more. And it's just not worth it.
No.
Plus his contract, I think is $8 million.
Yeah, no.
It's not worth it. But when they do cuts, if there's a veteran quarterback, backup quarterback is definitely a position of need for us.
Yeah.
Cause talking about depth, ideally we all hope Ryan Tannehill plays a 16 game season.
I've already done more Santeria. I've done more blood, chicken slaughtering.
I was sprinkling the blood. I was like, plays John, a 16 game season, if not more. But in my mind, I'm like, 16.
Get to 16. That's just get there.
We'll let the backup handle
everything.
The playoffs.
Else is bonus. Yeah. Well, you never. Here's the thing. Again, this is where I don't think. God, you know what? This sounds like such a fucking cop out. But
what?
I'm about to do one of the most cop outy things.
Yeah.
I don't think getting the wins is the point of this preseason for Adam Gase.
Yeah. What do you think the point is?
I think the point is to test as many of our guys as possible in the deeper lineup.
Yeah.
I think that we tried out our guys.
I think he's done that. And we found out the answer is
not
terrible.
Good. Yeah. Not yeah. good. I think
he did test and they failed but horrendously.
But like you said, like Kenyon Drake's, he has his shining moments. That's sure. it. Sit him down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think mentally Ryan Tannehill scores a touchdown. Amendola catches a touchdown. Boom. Sure. Sit him down. You know, like, I don't think that they care. Again, that's why I'm asking. Do we care? Again, super homer bullshit. What sure. I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
But also, like, what is the, like, let's play devil's advocate. What's the point of gunning for wins on your fucking preseason games?
I don't think it's gunning for wins as much as it's just gunning for, like, positive plays. Like it's not, if our starters dominate their starters, but then we lose because our third string gets destroyed by their third string, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
I mean, to me, I think it's been more just that, like, even like our starters versus other team starters, or in this case, our starters versus pretty much their second string.
Right. But at that point, like when you know they're sitting down so many of their players, like why? Like throw some people. We got a drive. We got a touchdown. Yeah. It was the first drive was weird.
Yeah.
The first few were us coming together and trying to figure stuff out. Maybe they were running new plays. Maybe they were running something out that they're trying to like try out. I don't know. But the idea,
maybe they set all their starters just to have their backups try out like their secret plays.
No, I'm talking about us.
Oh yeah,
I'm talking about us. Like maybe they're like, okay, Tannehill's, because they were running no huddle.
Sure.
And they're getting that under their belt and all that stuff. I'm trying to be positive. Looking at me like that.
No huddle is like one of those things too, where it's like, and I feel like this has been a recurring theme because it was also, I remember under Philbin, our team has like this long history now of like every year we're like tempo, no huddle, but it's just, it just turns into these really quick three and outs. like it's this, no huddle is effective. Like when your offense really efficient, you're picking the other team apart.
Right.
But like, I feel like,
but it's a muscle. You got to train it.
It is. But again, it's like kind of like walk before you could learn to run. Like maybe like work on like putting together like a couple plays.
See, what if it's throw them in the deep end of the pool and learn to fucking swim.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is what it's been.
This is what we're talking about.
But
this is
how many kids are we going to watch drown before we accept that maybe that's not the best way to teach kids how to swim?
This is a Florida team. As many kids need to drown as they need to drown. The cream rises to the top, or treads water.
I think you accidentally stumbled into like the perfect analogy, and that's also why I will never trust you around teaching kids to swim. Mike,
what? I'm a good instructor, and if I know CPR, so when they drown, I just pluck them.
We came here to talk about football, but we actually learned something very dark about Mike Mercadal.
Yeah, I'm willing to let children die for the Dolphins to learn how to run no huddle. What? Yeah. I don't understand. Why is that controversial?
Dolphins talk aside, you're here with Dave and the Murderer. Sports talk in the AM.
Yeah, Mike the Mercadal. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, it's not that I'm trying to kill them, it's that I'm willing to let them die.
You're going like fucking Batman Begins rules. I don't have to kill you, but I also don't have to save you.
I don't have to save you either. And then I pull my bat wings out, and then I go flying out of the back of a subway train.
Batman, arm of law enforcement, who also apparently doesn't understand manslaughter rules.
Yeah, that's totally.
Yeah, like you definitely.
Yeah, you're responsible. Oh, actually, you know what? It wasn't. They were responsible for the train collapsing.
Yeah, you don't want to be Batman's lawyer. I don't kill. A lot of your actions have resulted in this.
Yeah. I mean, indirectly. No, but going back to the Dolphins, I'm just saying, like, I am concerned like everybody else. Logic dictates I'd concerned be concerned.
Citizen.
I'm a concerned citizen on patrol, police academy. I don't want us to lose these games. I would rather us be tearing it up and all that stuff, but I am also realistic.
Hot take.
I'm also, yeah.
I'd rather win.
But also like, fuck it, man. We still got to figure shit out. If this is the process to figure it out, like,
well, maybe we don't win score wise. Maybe we win other things. No, maybe they learn friendship. Maybe they learn.
Look, what if the real win was the friendship we had along the way?
It's even about football. football.
Is this even about football? No, but like, I'll tell you this. I can't fucking stand as a Dolphins fan the history of we come out, we win a couple games, and then we don't win any in the middle to the late of the season.
Yeah.
I would rather us figure this shit out slowly, not hurting people that need to get hurt, and I'd go 0-4 if we win the rest of them.
Yeah. See, the problem is the Dolphins do have a history of doing great in the preseason and losing the whole season. They also have a history of losing the whole preseason and also losing the regular season.
I mean, like, you know how like we come out of, like our like
no, no, I, look, I, your be, point, your
beginning
point.
Of the season when everybody's healthy,
sure,
right?
Yeah,
when that because that's look, man, that's what happened last year with Ryan Tannehill going down. It was like a fucking crapshoot. The season before that, we were doing well. We went to the fucking playoffs.
Yeah,
it comes from this idea of I would rather have us figuring this shit out early and take the loss. Because I have my expectations so low because Adam Gase is an offensive genius. And this is what I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. What do you want from me, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you can say offensive genius without air quotes at this point. I mean, the first season, super impressive. Last season, like...
Don't tell them I did the air quotes. I mean, they don't. The listener doesn't have to know that I'm being incredibly sarcastic and facetious. I'd go 0-4 if it meant that we get our shit together.
The thing is, I mean, like, teams... It's the Dolphins, like the couple of good seasons we have had, I'm referring to two, that being the two times we've made the playoffs, but it was, you know, last time we made the playoffs, it was terrible in the beginning. Then they figured out to use Jay Ajayi, and then stuff turned around. The thing is good teams figure that shit out in training camp. So by the time the first game rolls around, they're ready.
Yeah.
Like this fucking Miami habit we always have of showing up late, like showing up late to games, showing
it's
up late
Miami
to the
time,
season.
Maybe shit starts at five. No, you tell them it starts at five. Cause it starts at seven.
The good teams that are well coached, that are well ran and shit like that. The first game of the preseason or the first game of the regular season rather.
Yeah.
Everyone knows the playbook. Everyone's up to speed. I mean, obviously things evolve as the season goes along, but for the most part, like with the teams like the Patriots and shit like that, it's not like fucking game four and it's like, oh, we got to figure some shit out. Like most of the teams, but the thing is like, also the one thing to your point that I have seen them do that I kind of liked is Mike Gesicki came into this, he came into it with being amazing at catching and not knowing how to block for shit. And for the first few preseason games up until this game, I mean, I think there was only one pass attempt up until in the first two games. They like literally were just straight up using him as a blocking tight end.
Sure.
And by all accounts, I mean, he's probably at the end of his career, he's probably not going to be best known for his blocking. But by all accounts, his blocking has gotten a lot better. That decision to a dude who clearly knows how, or we've been told knows how to catch the ball very well, in practice
and
stuff like that.
It.
No, no.
When they sent him out there,
the 6-yard slant.
He did catch it. He caught it. I understand what you're saying.
But I think that
they're building.
And that does go to your point too, is that like in the regular season, you want to use a weapon all you possibly can. I think that decision, especially as a rookie, to focus all your effort on working on his weaknesses, because catching the ball in the red zone, by all accounts, he's an athletic freak who like that's not going to be a giant challenge for him.
Yeah.
But I think that taking on the effort of working on the blocking, which again, doesn't show up in the final score. If the goal really was to win these preseason games at all costs, you definitely wouldn't take that plan. That plan with him, I think it was a smart plan that I think is ultimately going to pay off, because it's like, it's not, I mean, there was the comparison that, Kenny Stills made was comparing him to Jimmy Graham. And Jimmy Graham was a dude who mostly played basketball. But the thing is, Jimmy Graham never known for his, never known for being an amazing blocker. But the thing is, he was an extremely physical basketball player. So even though he didn't have like the technical skill at blocking that some tight ends had, also still put a ton of effort into it. So even like, obviously
it takes zero talent to hustle. Like, sure. And if they're trying to get the players who can hustle, have you ever heard of the term minimum effective dose? I think you have, right?
Yes.
It's the 4-hour bar, work smarter, not harder. Like do the minimum of what you need to do to accomplish your task.
Yeah.
The goal you have set for yourself.
Yeah.
And if they're trying to teach Mike Gesicki how to block,
yeah.
then this, they're doing the minimum. They are,
we're teaching him the same way I explained to people how to take mushrooms. Minimum effectiveness.
But it's basically like,
see, like you take, you put too much and now he's tripping. Like now it's a bad trip.
You give him too much. And especially as a rookie, there's the idea. And
they're also giving him orange juice.
Oh no. That,
stretch it out.
Yeah. That's going to take, oof. And he walks over to the wrong sideline, joins his buddy, Kiko Alonso. Oh, and he's like, where am I, man?
We just slowly invade their sideline one by one. It's like a game of Red Rover. Soon their sideline has become our sideline.
Yeah. How can you play from your sideline when it's our sideline? Yeah.
Just stand right by the coach, hear what he's calling. Like, can you not do this?
How is this allowed?
Yeah, aren't there rules?
But what I'm getting at is basically all of this stuff, who knows how it's going to impact. Like, you can make, honestly, you can make for any other team in the NFL, you can draw the lines that go from point A to point B.
Yeah.
That you can expect B to happen because A is happening.
Yeah. Dolphins draw lines, but then they do cocaine off of them.
Exactly. Those lines are pure powder, and then they go skiing down the slopes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The point being is that, like, who knows, man? Who knows? Who knows what Adam Gase is playing? He's such a he's squirrely. He's elusive.
Hot take.
He doesn't telegraph his moves out there. You never know. You think he's gonna zig and then he zags, bro. You never know. Also, I'm on mushrooms.
To be fair, he's got, like, I feel like this is that first season. I mean, you get a team that was that shitty in the playoffs. He is a
corner animal right now. He is a corner animal.
And by the way, like, I'm not like this reactionary dude who, like, fucking, like, you have like one bad game and I'm immediately calling for your job. The thing is, that first season, getting in the playoffs with that team, impressive. Really impressive. Yeah. Like, definitely bought him a lot of benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
Last season, not just that it was so shitty, and it was shitty, but also just that, like,
in the way it was shitty.
Yeah, like, it was so shitty in the, like, a doing the exact same thing and expecting different results kind of shitty.
Rehash that over and over again.
I'm not, but I going into this season,
but that was a big topic of conversation on this show last year where it was just, how many times are we, like, gonna say the same shit? And I think that last season, I think, is one of those that clean the slate. Like, we can't carry anything over.
I feel like that's the perfect response to that kind of offense, though.
Yeah.
Us repeating the same thing and, like, you guys not enjoying it. Isn't it fucking infuriating? Don't you wish we would change up our playbook?
Well, the Dolphins listen. We've established that someone on the Dolphins listens to this fucking show.
Well, look, the O-line,
because they're listening to us. They hear us. They have to hear how disappointed we sound.
Our offensive line looks better. Yes. I will say this.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Our offensive line looks better. Tannehill gets sacked twice in this game, but on the whole, offensive line looks better. Our rushing yards are better. One of the tricky things is, like,
A moment where Tannehill had pressure and where he would have normally thrown that bullshit last ditch effort pass. Uh-huh. He tucked it and took the sack.
It almost seemed like a magic trick. Like,
yes.
Like, it was like when the way you fake out a dog, like I totally got faked out. Like, I'm looking down the field. Like, where? You fucking tricky magician.
Ooh, you got me. I looked. You made me look.
Tannehill.
Oh, you so-and-so. You sneaky so-and-so.
Tannehill's been taking some amateur magic classes.
That's a
sleight of hand.
He's been doing sleight of hand techniques, so now his play action is impeccable.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect play action.
He spent his offseason in France just learning the art of mime.
Speaking of this, and you brought it up, the art of mime. I have decided to become a mime. Look at me pull
podcast
this rope.
Listeners can't wait. You can't see what he's doing right now. It's just beautiful.
Can you tell I'm up against the glass in the glass box? Can you tell?
He's in the glass case of emotion.
No, but so when RG3 was out running offense for them, it was all that stupid quarterback option, halfback option bullshit that no one is going to run. I mean,
I looked after seeing what RG3 and Lamar Jackson did to our team. I immediately looked at our schedule this year. And for the most part, I mean, there's some quarterbacks who can move a little bit. The only, like, real double threat we're up against is Deshaun Watson when we play the Texans.
Yeah.
And after what I've seen so far, like, especially not looking forward to that one. But like, it's, Yeah, like they weren't able to contain. I think that
they got sacked.
I was trying to talk about the offense.
Yeah, so, I'm sorry.
Offensive line looks good. One tricky thing, Jarvis Landry, for as much money as he was asking, and for as much as Hard Knocks has revealed him to be just an absolute psychopath. Like, I always liked him, but it's also it's like the thing where, like, you like find out more about someone, you're like, oh, he's like legitimately insane.
To be fair, Adam Gase did send him to Cleveland to die.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
He said that, and like, you want to argue it, be like, no, that is that's what you do. But the thing is, like, my question though is, where are the receptions going to go in this offense? I mean, Kenny Stills wasn't playing this game.
No, he was out.
He was hurt.
But Devontae Parker.
But
right?
The thing is, I mean, it's funny because it's like the criticism against Jarvis Landry is, yeah, he leads the league in receptions. He all this impressive shit, but it all tends to be kind of shorter receptions and shit like that. I'll tell you what. For as shitty as our offense has been on third down, mm-hmm. and like a lot of these third downs are like third and four.
Yeah.
You're like, those third and fours, everyone on the field knows where it's going, but it still goes there. And it was to Jarvis Landry all last season.
And he would make the catches.
And the thing is, right now, if it's third and four, who's it going to? Because the thing is, I mean, a lot of the dudes we have.
Isn't that better, though?
I mean, it's what would be better is if we knew that it was reliably going to be able to go somewhere.
It's the Dolphins, man.
The problem is right now, the answer has been no one.
No one.
Like I don't care that.
Anyone.
Look, no,
it could be anyone.
That's the point, though.
Yes.
If it's anyone, great. If it's no one, terrible. And so far this offense, it's been no one. Like it's, and this is the thing, yeah. is that like so many of the players we have, Jakeem Grant is a dude who can like hurt you deep. Kenny Stills is a dude who can hurt you deep.
Yes.
Look, I mean, there's a lot of like different options that way, but I mean, having a dude,
Gesicki and Kenyon Drake, I think they're going to make a huge difference in that zone, in that short passing range.
But again, I mean, it's, you'd rather the short passing range dude, you'd also kind of rather it like have a receiver. I mean, Kenyon Drake can do short receptions and stuff.
Sure.
But Gesicki, I mean, that is something that I think they truly are holding the playbook back on. Cause
100%.
They're not, it would be one thing if they're
joking aside,
if they were doing a bunch of attempts to him that weren't going, and all the reporting is all the red zone drills, he's like lighting the world on fire.
Right.
To be fair though, one of the things that's tricky about that is our team can't cover tight ends for shit. Period.
Right.
We've shown that over and over. There's no one we have that can cover tight ends. Minka Fitzpatrick, we brought in the offseason. Hopefully he's going to be able to help in that effort. But in general, our defense, one of the book against our defense is can't stop the run. Can't really tackle exceptionally well. There was like one play during the game against the Ravens where I think it was like five missed tackles on one play. But the thing is, we can't stop tight ends. So one of the things that's tricky is, Mike Gesicki is like apparently setting the world on fire in the red zone drill. Is that because he's amazing, or is that just showing how shitty we are covering tight ends?
I think that there's a, that's one of those things when they do the practices with other teams and all that stuff. Like, sure. Like when we practice, who do we practice?
Oh, the scrimmage. Eagles?
Yeah.
Last season.
Yeah. Even now, like when they just had, when all those fights broke out, like
sure.
it's one of those things where you're defending against your own team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you're defending against your guys. There's the way NFL practices are now, there's not as much hitting. There's not as much real world environment. Mm-hmm. And I think that can fuck with people. I think honestly, like they get out on the field and they get hit by someone who's trying to hit them.
Sure.
And then there's that period of adjustment. And I do think that unless that culture changes in the Dolphins, that feeling of like, and I'll tell you exactly when it comes up, when we're watching the games, you uh-huh. and I are watching the games, and I'll be like, why can't we do what they do? You know what I mean? Like why?
It's literally every game I watch.
Yeah. There's a moment where I'm like, what, and I'm sure there's like differences, but even when we're playing, there's always that feeling of something happens where I'm like, why didn't our guy do that? Like, what is the mechanics?
It's like a perfect encapsulation of what it's like to cheer for a shitty team.
No.
Because you're just constantly like, but their team's doing these things. Why not us? Why don't we throw the ball deep?
I'm really broad, but I'm talking more about like, why, like, what in their practices, like I, because it's not, I refuse to believe it's 100% talent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like we have talented athletes. Like these people are, they're trained to do this, you know, sure. Like their bodies are training and all this stuff is happening. Every ounce of energy goes to being the best NFL football player that they can be.
Sure.
At their position, super specialized shit.
Yeah.
What is the difference maker to make them better than they are now?
Oh yeah.
And a lot of it, again, I keep going back to the mental game. A lot sure. of it has to do with getting their heads right.
Yeah.
And I think
discipline is the answer to your question.
Yeah. That's the best way to put it.
And I think that that's one of the biggest, one of the most infuriating things
is there a positive discipline though? Like I don't want it to be like a fucking whip crack, you know?
Well, here's the fun thing about this is they're all adults and they're all like professionals. Exactly. So ideally you shouldn't have to crack a whip to like get that out of them. But to me, I mean, what I was talking about with Adam Gase earlier, these fucking pre-snap penalties all the fucking time
yeah.
on both sides of the ball. Boy. Here's the thing. Like if the team was getting no penalties, if it was a team of dudes who didn't necessarily have the most talent in the world that were playing clearly to the best of their possible abilities in the most efficient way possible, then you're like, it seems like we've got a great coach, but it seems like the personnel staff, like Tenenbaum and like those people need to go. Mm-hmm. The thing is, that has not been the case in the pre-snap penalties. And like they'll every press conference, they go into like, you know, like we're going to work on it. And they said that like, that it was a specific focus and then they'll come back the next game. And it look, I mean, that, of all the shit that like you should or should not be able to get straightened out, if game one, if we start playing the Titans and that shit's still happening the way it was happening all fucking last season,
right?
There's a point where it's like, maybe you have a great brain for football. Maybe you're good at drawing up plays, but there's a reason why some people stay offensive coordinators and don't belong as head coaches.
That's a valid question. I mean,
your ability to be a head coach is your ability to discipline a team. And again, like, look, in a perfect world, these are all adults. They're all professionals. They should be able to do this shit on their own. But look, I mean, the best head coaches don't run undisciplined teams. Like
you're right.
If Bill Belichick, if all his starters went down, if like, I mean, it's frustrating because their second string would probably also go to the Super Bowl. But like if all their starters went down, if he was forced to coach a team that ended up going like 0-16.
Right.
I mean, now we're just talking about pure fantasies of mine. But if Bill Belichick had to do that.
Dave, put your dick away. Jesus. Yeah. You're so aroused by the thought of
the fucking the music starts playing in the background. Like, let me just turn down the lights. Yeah. Dave, I didn't realize your apartment had a fireplace. All right,
I'll leave you to it. Womp, okay. Womp, yeah. Wow.
The thing is, I mean, if Belichick or dudes like that, even if they were running a team that went 0-16 or like 1-15,
yeah,
it's going to be because their players aren't making enough positive plays. It's not because they're getting fucking penaltied to get to death.
Right.
I mean, I think Belichick would field a team of like fucking street agents, like out of like a fucking parking lot before he would put players on the team who were going to get stupid penalties that way. Fair you don't enough. Fucking tolerate it. And that's the thing. I mean, I think that with Gase, it's, we talk about the positive side of about his ability to put together a playbook, but part of the job also is your ability to manage other people. And I mean, our team, Phil Ben was, I think, a prime example of it. Cam Cameron was a prime example of it. We've had dudes who were offensive coordinators who came in who clearly had run really good offenses before.
Right.
Cam Cameron has been a great offensive coordinator. Phil, but I mean, like,
you have to be a leader of men.
Phil Ben had never been an offensive coordinator at any level, even high school. When he came in, he'd been a coordinator his whole career. And like, as the moment you see Hard Knocks, you're like, oh, there's a reason for that. His personality type. He's not,
he sits with his playbook and he draws up plays.
Yeah. Like if he's hanging out with his friends, he's not the one driving, you know?
Oh no.
He's never the one driving.
Oh, that is too good. That's too good a way to put it.
Yeah. You throw the keys. Like, who's it going to be? It's not going to be Philbin.
It's never going to be Philbin.
And that's the thing. Like, I think that like Gase has.
Do you think Gase is trying? Do you think that he's trying to bridge this gap or do you think he's struggling with it?
I think Gase, I mean, he certainly has.
Because he definitely fucking, look,
he certainly has the confidence.
He sent Jarvis Landry to die. He got rid of Jay Ajayi when he was causing problems. Who got cut after causing shit in practice?
Yeah, but the thing is, that's strong leaders are able to manage, like, they're able to manage talented but difficult to deal with players. Like Belichick was able to deal with they got Randy Moss for a fourth round pick because everyone said no one could coach Randy Moss, and Belichick did it super easy. The thing is, Philbin was a fucking coward and got rid of Brandon Marshall immediately because he didn't know how to manage him. And the thing is, like, Adam Gase, like, this whole thing of, like,
getting rid of... And Ochocinco, with us for 5 minutes, and then it was like, he's cursing too much.
He also beat a woman in a smart car.
Oh, was that out already?
It did get out, and then it was
that
like...
That was after he got cut, though.
No, it was before.
Really?
That's why he got cut.
No, I'm
100% sure. Really?
All right, fine.
No, what was funny, though, is...
Listeners, correct Dave if he's wrong.
So he, please, at me. At me, motherfuckers.
Yeah, please.
That's what made that so funny is that, like, he hit a woman inside a smart car, but, like, Joe Philbin, they call him in, and, like, you're obviously going to get cut because of fucking course you are. But, like, Joe Philbin, it still just reminded me of my first middle school breakup. Like, he just couldn't be obviously we're going to cut you, dude, because, you know, fucking what else would he expect? He's like, you know, like, sometimes teams just grow apart from players, you know,
but let's not talk about Philbin. I mean, look,
no, but I guess what I'm saying with Gase, though,
I don't think of him as a Philbin.
Punishing Jay Ajayi by forcing him to win a Super Bowl.
I fully believe that Jay Ajayi.
What if it's like,
that was a luck move.
What was that, like, fucking shitty Dane Cook movie where, like, everyone...
Good luck, Chuck?
Yeah, everyone he fucked, then, like, the next person they dated, they married. Like, what if, like, Adam Gase is, like, deaf for coaches? Like, we get rid of JJ, wins the Super Bowl. Like, I'll tell you what, I'm saying it right now.
If the Browns go to the Super Bowl?
If the Browns win the Super Bowl, I'm going to be surprised for a lot of reasons, but there will become a certain thing where it's like, if the Browns even make it deep into the playoffs, I'm saying it now before the season. If it happens.
Okay.
I mean, it's watching Hard Knocks with that coach, I would say absolutely impossible. But
like, there's...
Speaking of people who don't belong in a head coaching job.
Well, look, let's talk about what we got coming up here. Sure. Let's talk about the future.
Yeah.
I fully believe that once we get... Because here's the thing about, again, like, you talk about your starters and your depth. I think that there's a conditioning issue that the Dolphins are... I don't know what, like, again, the preseason, I think, is not going to be a good example of what we're going to be doing.
But what makes you say conditioning, though?
I think there's, this is all hunch. This is all reckless speculation.
Well, because like the last couple of seasons, if anything, our team has done like way better in the second half, which would be like the opposite. That would say we're better conditioned than the other teams. That's what I'm saying,
that our conditioning is good, but you're going to see, I would like to see, I think there's going to be a more changing people out.
Yeah.
And not letting people get as gassed on defense.
Sure.
I think that all of this money that they saved by cutting Sue and Landry,
but the depth, though, I mean, that's, you saw like what our second half defense looked
like.
That's my concern against the Ravens.
That's my concern.
I don't want to rotate people out if the people coming in, because right now, I mean, like, we linebackers, we have Raekwon McMillan came back. He is very slow to be playing middle linebacker. And the thing is, I mean, you can be like Zach Thomas wasn't the fastest dude of all time, but he made up for it by choosing really good angles and shit like that.
Right. He would go to where the ball will be.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the hope is that Raekwon, this is his first real NFL season because he was hurt all last year.
Right.
The hope is that he starts being able to make better decisions, take better angles. Kiko Alonso's actually looked pretty good so far, but that third position keeps switching off between Baker, Chase Allen, Stephon Anthony. We don't really have a third linebacker. So like linebacker depth, which was an issue for us all last season.
Yeah, that's going to be still an issue
right now. Like corner, we've got one solid starting corner in Xavien Howard. The other one, we ended up resorting to moving Bobby McCain from nickel over because all the dudes we tried to start at the other corner, none of them worked out, which then made me and Patrick our nickel. But again, like that's not, we don't even have a starter now. Like if anything, like at cuts, one of the things that's going to be interesting because we got cuts coming up soon.
Yeah. Give me your speculation.
The positions we're in bad need of, the way I see it is, backup quarterback we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
If there's a veteran quarterback that gets cut, we're definitely in the market because we don't, if Tannehill goes down, there's not another dude we could put in who looks ready to play.
Who do you think goes? Osweiler or Fails?
I mean, honestly, like there's years we've only had two quarterbacks, and honestly, like I think there's a chance both of them go.
Really?
I mean, Fails, I think, is under a favorable contract. But the thing is, I mean, it's with the way that they've played, I don't know, fails for as long as he's been in the NFL. Like, he's been practice squatted.
Right.
He was with the Bears. Like, he keeps like bouncing around, and obviously there's something there.
Right.
But it's this thing where it's like, at what point are you just like, this is how good he's capable of being? You know,
he's that journeyman quarterback that just goes and he plays wherever they'll sign him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, the part that I'm not sure as much about is like what their contract situations are, like how much is guaranteed and all that other shit. But I mean, the way I see it, like if there's like a decent veteran quarterback that gets cut and like we can pick him up like relatively inexpensively or something,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if we signed like another veteran, because I mean, there were multiple seasons where it was just Tannehill and Matt Moore and like no one else, or maybe a quarterback on the practice squad or something.
Yeah, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
But corner, we're definitely in the market for, there's a couple of players that we've already kind of talked to, like free agents who were kind of floating around.
So I remember reading about that.
Apparently there's some rumors that like, there's been like some trade discussion and shit like that, but it's corner is definitely a position of need. And I would say, corner, linebacker, we have a bunch of dudes who are like fine, but it's still,
they're getting beat by tight ends.
Yeah. Pretty consistently.
Yeah. Again, it goes back to the mystery in the Dolphin Dome for today.
Yeah.
Do we care about how this preseason is going? Is it an accurate portrayal of what we can expect, or is it does it have another goal in mind? Does Adam Gase have another goal in mind in what he's doing? Because realistically,
it's a fun question. The problem is that like all the reporters who are watching all their practices game in and game out, all of them are like, what you guys are seeing, the problems you're seeing in the preseason games are the same problems you're seeing in practice. Cause I mean, in practice, even like the pre-snap penalties and shit like that, because they have refs at practice and stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's all these issues. And that's the thing. Like I would love nothing more than if like we're getting destroyed in these games, but all the reporters are all like smiling. Cause they're like, oh God, they've got some real shit up their sleeves and stuff. Yeah. Like it's not, I want that to be the case. I want it to be
I
want it to be the biggest. I mean,
I want it to be another psych out.
Such is what it's like to be a Dolphins fan. You're like, what I hope is that reality looks a lot different than the way what my eyeballs are telling me, which is.
Dolphins fans are the Rudy Giuliani's of sports fans. Yeah. Like truth isn't truth.
The score isn't the score.
That's not the score. Isn't the score.
Yeah. Touchdowns aren't touchdowns.
Yeah. Guys, you know, what are you saying? Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. Just pull all the quotes from Rudy Giuliani and just make it about the Dolphins. That's not far off how I feel right now.
Yeah. I'm like deep in the bunker. I'm like, I just want to make the Dolphins great again.
Yeah. Totally.
I feel like this has like become like the Alex Jones of like sports radio.
Like
we're deep into conspiracy theories. Yeah. We're deep into like
we've sicked hurricanes on opposing teams our minds.
My biggest problem with Bill Belichick is that he insists on making frogs gay.
And then I'm going to sell you some supplements.
Exactly.
I'm going to sell you like
this is a podcast. You probably wonder how we keep our minds so sharp like a steel trap.
This marrow chocolate. What is it? The bone chocolate drink
made from real dolphins. Summon the power of the dolphin.
We should do a fake commercial.
Sonar abilities may vary.
Yeah. Get it in your blowhole.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Now we just turn it to Randy watching my
every voice of mine. It's like 7 degrees of like, do your impression of Meryl Streep. 2 seconds later, oh yeah. Kramer versus Kramer. Oh yeah.
Oh my God. I honestly,
Mamma mia. Oh yeah. Truth isn't truth. Oh yeah. Oh no. All right. I feel like that seems like a really
appropriate place to
if you've listened to this podcast, you're aware. We talk about football until stuff gets into such incoherent silliness that we're like, all right, I feel like I'm proud of what we've done here.
We've done enough here.
You got anything you want to promote?
Yeah. If you listen to my podcast, Zeros on Heroes, zerosonheroes.com, at Zeros on Heroes on all social media. You can listen to the In Studio podcast, which we have banked a bunch. We're looking for a new studio space to actually record our Zeros on Heroes show. But the Unsung Heroes show, the live open mic talk show that I do every Thursday at the Creek in the Cave in Long Island City, Queens, Thursdays at 8 p.m. That show has been really running real great. The last episode was fantastic. It was all about crazy rich unsung heroes. So we just like, what would you do with $1 million? And boy, the answers were full of sensible whimsy. It was a bunch of comedians who like, who could process. It's like when Carl Sagan's talking about the cosmos where like, yeah, you can't fathom how big it is. Uh-huh. That's like how comedians think about any amount of money over $1,000.
Yeah.
Where you're like, what would you do with $1 million? You're like, I don't know, buy a car or like a mountain, a country. I don't know how much $1 million
yeah,
is.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was a real fun episode. And you can listen to that at Zeros on Heroes, Zeros on Heroes on all of the podcast things.
Nice.
And you can follow me at Mike Mercadal.
Nice.
Spelled how it is on the thing you're listening to right now.
Definitely check it out. If you listen to this podcast, you're probably already aware. There's also a website, savingthedolphins.com. We're on Twitter at savingthefins, P-H-I-N-S. And I am on Twitter at David Kenny, K-I-N-N-E-Y. Thanks for listening. Looking forward to seeing our second and third strings go, next week against the Falcons. And fins up.
Fins up.